Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. It's Thursday, at least where we are. I don't know. Maybe you live on the international time line, and it's not Thursday. Maybe it's Friday where you live. But thanks for joining us here on the program. By us, I mean yours truly and Dr. Ray Pritchard from Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. And a lot to talk about today. And Fred Jackson's with us, news director for American Family News and also OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be with you on this Fly on the Wall Day.
Fred's named the day. All right, Fred, tell us why it's Fly on the National Fly on the Wall Day.
As we speak, Donald Trump is supposed to arrive at the White House any moment now for his first meeting with President Barack Obama. And given the unfriendliness, boy, I'm being diplomatic today, between those two gentlemen during the election campaign, I'd love to be there when they shake those hands and then go beyond the cameras and they go into the Oval Office. And then there's a private meeting between Melania Trump and First Lady Michelle Obama. That's going on. And then I think actually it's going to be a pretty good meeting between Vice President Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Mike Pence. They're pretty too easygoing guys.
Yeah, I think that first meeting, these folks on both sides, President Obama, which I think he handled it very well yesterday.
He did, yeah.
Didn't you think so? Did you see Ray?
You know, I sure did, and very gracious. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're on the same team. We're Americans.
Right.
This is what we do, so kudos to the president for leading the way.
Yeah, I thought I thought all of them did. I thought Hillary Clinton did. I thought Donald Trump did. And I thought President Obama did. In terms of handling the transition and mm-hmm. the words that they said, I thought was in the great tradition of American politics.
Yeah, I think it was excellent. Now, it is Fly on the Wall Day because after the meeting between Donald Trump and the president, Donald Trump goes up to Capitol Hill, and there he's scheduled a meeting with House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Okay.
All right.
Now, they're teammates, supposedly.
Right. Today they are.
Right, today.
Today, I think they got the same team sweater on.
Okay.
But I'd still like to be a fly in the wall at that first meeting, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And then Vice President-elect Mike Pence, is going to be in both meetings. And so he's kind of there, I think.
Well, you know,
let's everybody get along here.
You know, Mike Pence served, I think, 10 or more years in the United States House of Representatives, mm-hmm. and he was in leadership in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So he has some experience in that place. Let me just say this, too. I know that, you know, President Obama and Donald Trump went after each other during the campaign, but that isn't the first time that kind of thing's happened.
Oh, no.
And
no.
So these people are adults, and and they'll handle it fine. They'll be professional, it would be. I tell you what would be sort of an interesting moment in history is when Obama and Trump ride the limousine down from where do they go? They go from the White House to the Capitol, right?
I think so.
Right.
For the inauguration.
For the inaugural parade, right.
Yeah.
That's where you'd really like to be, sitting in the limousine with them or listening in on their conversation.
You know what I think President Obama's probably going to tell him? You really didn't want this job. I'm telling you, trust me here, Donald, you didn't want this job. You had a great life. Mm. You're 70 years old. You got great golf courses, which I'm going to go play, by the way.
And you can't.
You don't want this job. You don't know what I left you.
Man.
Anyway, it's really an interesting time. Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, and Mike Pence, Ray, going to Washington in a show of, at least now, unity in terms of transition of power. President Obama and is going to go over, I guess, some things that the new President-elect needs to know.
Oh, yeah, and there's some other meetings going on in Washington, too, we should be aware of, because the transition team for President-elect Trump is already working. National security planning is being led by former Michigan Representative Mike Rogers, who previously worked with the FBI. And the domestic issues were being handled by Ken Blackwell, a former Cincinnati mayor.
I know
mayor.
Ken. He's been a guest here on the—
Yeah, an Ohio Secretary of State. So right. those and of course now there's the speculation about Attorney General, very important position. Former Mayor of New York Rudy Giuliani is being mentioned for that position.
I heard him on I guess it was
O'Reilly.
Was it O'Reilly where he
night.
Didn't deny that he would take?
He
that
no,
job.
He did not.
Did you
no,
see
he,
that, Ray?
Yeah, he had that big smile on his face and said, "Yeah, well, I do know a lot about the Justice Department."
That's what he said, Rudy Giuliani. Yeah. I speculated it, for Attorney General it would either be him or Chris Christie,
or the other one I thought was Trey Gowdy. Now that
who would be an excellent choice. Yes.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah, but the liberals' heads would spin off, huh?
They would, well, they're already spinning
well,
off.
Well, you're right.
They have spun off.
They've spun off. Well, maybe they'll lose a couple limbs if Trey, in addition to their head. If Trey Gowdy were appointed. But you know, Donald Trump is just like that. I mean, he would do something like that. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that a lot of advisors would say, hey, don't do anything to poke the other side in the eye right now. If you name Trey Gowdy as your... As your AG in the next day or two, you know, they're going to...
You would have half the Justice Department quit. That's what would
let
happen.
Let them go.
Yeah, let them go if they feel that way.
Let them go.
Today, in fact, any minute now, I guess, Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, will be going to the White House to visit with President Obama. As the transition begins, it'll be a 90-day process? No, not a 90-day. It's a 45-day process, isn't it? 50-day, 60-day?
15, 30, 45, and then 20 in January. So
whatever that is. 60-something days.
Yeah, a little over 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
That the transition. What do you think about all this, Ray?
Well, I think from the moment the election was called for him, I think every step he has made has been the right one. Beginning with his speech on Tuesday night, he took a call from Netanyahu yesterday, talked to the president of Mexico, called Nancy Pelosi, called Chuck Schumer, and I was checking his Twitter account. There was one little tweet saying, what a great night Tuesday night had been. And nothing else since then. So I think, and these names that are being floated out there for his cabinet, wouldn't we all agree, these are good, tested leaders, and they're good conservatives.
Yes, they are.
So, so far, so good, right? Two days in?
He's developing a team around him. I saw where Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, is it the president? Is that what they're called? He sent him a telegram.
Mm-hmm.
He sent Donald Trump a telegram, basically, saying, hey, you know, congratulations,
sure.
And
right.
We'll look forward to working with you and that kind of thing. I didn't read the whole telegram. I don't know. I don't even know if it was made public. Maybe it was. But, you know, Donald Trump had mentioned during the debates, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we could be friends with Russia?
Mm-hmm.
At least have a good relationship with them. And so maybe he'll, you know, try to do that. I think Donald Trump says if we could fight ISIS together and that kind of thing. So I don't know. We'll see. But the, you know, the world leaders, I don't know if the Chinese leader has invited.
No, I don't know.
That might be the last invitation he gets right
that's
there.
Right.
I think the foreign ministers of the European Union, they've called a meeting for Sunday, I believe it is. They want to get together to discuss what does Donald Trump mean for us and the European Union. There may be some discussion, especially with Eastern Europe, some of those countries like Poland, what they're going to do, what to expect from Donald Trump. There was a story this morning on another news agency about the South Koreans, a little bit concerned about what Donald Trump had to say about some of the allies paying a little bit more for American security, et cetera. So they're not sure how that may manifest itself after Donald Trump takes over in the Oval Office.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson, who's news director for American Family News. And Alex, I saw Alex McFarland earlier in the hall. Dr. Ray Pritchard co-hosting with us today from Dallas. We hope that you are having a good Thursday, and please check us out on Facebook. Walker had to leave. He had a trip he had to make, but he said, Dad, make sure you tell everybody that Facebook Live is operable or operating. Hold on, see what he said. Facebook Live, I'm reading the text. Facebook Live will be up and running, and articles will be posted.
There you go.
So it's almost as if Walker's still here, even though he's on the road. He's making sure we're taken care of here. So Facebook for today's issues, check it out, and keep up with us there. What else you got, Fred?
Well, just a couple more names being batted around out there. House Speaker Newt Gingrich and Tennessee Senator Bob Coker being mentioned for foreign policy posts. I heard Gingrich's name possibly for Secretary of State. That would be interesting. This team, I think, that Donald Trump is going to select, you're going to see a lot of familiar faces, familiar to the conservative community.
Where do you think John Bolton fits in? Because I've heard his name kicked around. He's a good man, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Secretary of Mustache. which I will attend that meeting.
Yeah, but I think Ray and Tim, as I recollect, John Bolton wasn't a big fan of Donald Trump, at least initially. In the race.
Right.
It may have changed as time went on. But the other story that's breaking out there today and that we've been following overnight are these ongoing protests in the streets of major cities, both on the East Coast, places like Chicago, and in Kansas, and then on the West Coast. A little bit crazy.
Still going on today? Or these...
Oh, yeah. The students. Now, for the it's not all university students, but a lot of it is being driven by university students who are
whiny babies.
Whiny babies. And my morning guy, Rusty Pugh, who reads our morning news, was telling me he's been watching this as he came in early this morning. And some of these students are asking for a day off to recover. And some of the professors are advocating this. They want to give the students a day off just so they can absorb all of this.
Right.
And then Steve Ducey on Fox News this morning, he's an alumni of the University of Kansas. And I think I heard him correctly that there was at least a suggestion that maybe the university could bring in calming dogs. Like they bring in dogs that I guess lays his head on your lap and kind of calms you down a little bit.
Right, and then the dog whispers.
Calming dogs.
Make the world go away.
Oh, no. Oh.
It's just... Really?
Put your head on my shoulder. Hey, Elvis did a great rendition right there. You ought to go listen to that.
But it's just, it's nuts.
Portal.
It is nuts.
You know, we were talking about earlier, Ray, that this is a result, I think, of the everybody gets a trophy mentality.
Right.
I cannot possibly be a loser. Somebody has got to, recognize, I'm a winner in here somewhere. And I don't like Donald Trump.
These protesters, I watched it last night on CNN for about an hour. I watched these protests in New York and a handful of Chicago.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, I'm watching this just live Don Lemon CNN last night. You know the show I'm talking about?
Right. Right.
And so Don Lemon is covering the. Right. Every once in a while, I put it on CNN just to see what they're talking about, especially Tuesday night after the election. I'll be honest with you. I was so carnal. I was loving every minute of it. That was Loverboy 1980, I think. But anyway, I was watching it, and I was sitting there because I just wanted to see the faces the people when their team, which was favored by 5 touchdowns, lost.
Right.
That is funny to watch.
How did this happen?
Yeah, so I just the looks on their faces was entertainment for me. But anyway, what my point was, I'm watching the show last night with Don Lemon on CNN. He does a good job. He's a good interviewer, I think. But anyway, so he goes live to the street in Chicago where his reporter has got the protest going on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most, and so this protester, in quotes, now listen, follow the story here. This fella is a black reporter, and the protester he pulls over to talk to. Hey, come here, can you talk to me? is a white guy. Mm-hmm. And he looks to be about 35 years old. And he goes, he starts out pretty good. He goes, yeah, these people, he himself, he said, I voted for Hillary. I'm as disappointed as anybody. He said, but what these people are doing here is not helpful. He said, they're writing swear words on buses. They're jumping on cars. He said, that's really, they're pointless. He said, that this needs to have a point. And then he starts getting amped up, and he's going, we need Hillary to go down to the Supreme Court and file a lawsuit where it's one vote, one vote, one person. He was telling the Electoral College thing. Right, he didn't like that. And he said, then he started talking to the black reporter. He said, your vote only counts one third. And he just going, he's ranting some sensical and mostly nonsensical garbage. But he keeps getting louder and louder and more animated. And this goes on for about probably 2 minutes. And the reporter's just sitting there kind of stunned at, what do I do? Do I cut him off? Or do I go back to the studio? What do I do? So the guy gets through ranting. Here's what he does. The supposed protester, the white guy I'm talking about, he goes, yeah, and Hillary, I've been to your camp in Rwanda. I've seen the good work that the Clinton Foundation does. I know you. Well, okay, so it gets through. Do y'all know this already, what I'm telling you here?
No.
Okay, so the reporter is kind of stunned, and he sort of turns back to the camera and goes, back to you, Don. But Don Lemon goes, hey, I know that guy. Yeah, he does. No, I'm serious. He goes, Don Lemon, the in-studio CNN report, host of the show, goes, hey, I know that guy. He goes, he went with me to Rwanda. He was my cameraman.
Oh, brother.
Y'all see where I'm going with this?
Uh-huh.
So you have a guy who comes up. Evidently, the reporter on the street didn't know the fellow. He didn't know him, or he wouldn't let him on.
Uh-huh.
So the guy is pretending to be a protester. He may have been protesting out on the street. I'm sure he was. I don't know what exactly he was protesting, but he wanted Hillary to go to the Supreme Court tomorrow and to knock the doors down and tell them what's going to be going on here. But anyway, the funny thing was when Don Lemon goes, hey, I know that guy, because I was thinking about CNN has just been killed with revelations that they teamed up with the Clinton team during the election.
Yeah.
Like five or six.
Here's even more proof of it. Right.
And I'm going, this is, Allison said, my wife said, why do you think he said I know that guy? I said, because he didn't want to be caught not admitting to it.
Exactly.
Because if he didn't say anything and somebody reported it today, mm-hmm. they would say, here's another example of the media creating and colluding with the Democrats. I'm just glad to see that everybody is accepting the results of the election.
Right.
Right? Don't you think these – no, wait a minute. Excuse me. These riots that are going on are only protesting Trump being elected. I say they're right. Some of them are riots. A lot of them are just protesters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, ask yourself the question, what happened in 2008 when Obama won and McCain lost? Any riots? Any
That's
protests?
Right. Yeah, you had all those Republicans with polo That's shirts right. out there burning down towns. You remember that?
Right, right, it right. Was, and when Romney lost?
After they got through playing golf, they went out there and rioted in the streets. No, you're right. We were talking about that last night again. Allison, my wife and I were talking about, what if Trump's people were out there burning Hillary in effigy like they were doing in Los Angeles last night? And they had a girl on CNN again. CNN. She's protesting. She's walking down. She's a Hispanic girl with a sign, and she said, "There's going to be people are going to die." She said, "There's going to be casualties on both sides." And Don Lemon again comes back and said, "Hey, whoa, we don't encourage violence." In any way. But anyway, if this were Trump people out there protesting in this way, it would, oh my word. Because remember, he was the one who they just crucified when they said he wouldn't accept the results of the American people. That's when they thought Hillary was going to win.
That's right.
Now the tables are turned and
all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, it's been really interesting the last 48 hours to see the shock amongst the mainstream media.
It's been entertainment for me.
To their credit, they're saying we missed it.
Yeah, they are.
How did we miss more than half the country feeling this way. And I applaud them for asking the question. The problem is,
I'll tell you why.
I don't think they're going to come to the right answer.
I'll tell you why they live in a bubble. That's why they live in New York City, in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, California, for the most part. Those are the three power centers, three media centers. They live in bubbles. And I was reading a guy in Hollywood last night who works in the entertainment industry and how shocked the whole Hollywood scene was because Donald Trump won. They were having like everybody was walking around like it was a funeral. But I think that's the reason is they don't know a lot of people out here in the hinterland.
Yeah,
and
they missed it. And, yeah. and folks do not believe the narrative from. And I'm still seeing it this morning that Donald Trump was elected basically by uneducated white men. And that's it. That's the only people who voted for Donald Trump are uneducated.
That's not true.
No. That's not true.
And uneducated, by the way, uneducated, what they're talking about is people who don't have college degrees.
Yes.
Because I know plenty of people who don't have college degrees who are very educated.
And very smart.
Yeah.
And smarter than the people, many of them, who do have college
degrees. That's the wrong way to phrase that.
And it's ridiculous. We all know that the African-American vote for Republicans was up. Over 2012. The Latino vote was up for Republicans over 2012. Those stats are all there. And, you know, it's really strange, you know, if it's just men. I'm seeing a lot of women interviewed on TV who say, thank God Donald Trump was elected. Now I have an opportunity for a better job, a single mom, whatever the case may be. So don't.
Is it true that a majority of women went for?
No,
a majority of white women, I think, went for Donald Trump.
I haven't seen that stat, but this whole thing about it's just un-university educated white guys were the one who put Trump in. That's just not true. And even if you know, just think about the demographics of the country. That would be impossible. It was just that group of people who helped elect Donald Trump.
By the way, the uneducated mm-hmm. white men have feelings too.
That's right.
They can vote.
And they can vote too, and evidently they did. Yes. Right?
But anyway, but it wasn't. Well, your point, Fred, is that it wasn't a by any means a just white male. In fact, I hesitate to say the stats because I remember reading. I read so much last night on this. I want to say more college-educated people voted for Trump than they did for or as many as they did for Hillary Clinton. The point the what the media wanted you to believe prior to the election was all you got voting for Trump is a bunch of angry white men, yahoos,
right.
who are bumpkins and they don't know what's going on in the world.
Basket of deplorables.
Who are unredeemable.
Yeah, that's right.
She said it was unredeemable. Hmm. All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. When we get back, we will. Abe Hamilton's going to come in, Abe, public policy analyst for American Family Association. I do want to ask Abe, what's going to happen with the Supreme Court in the next few months or in the next year or two? Because I don't know if you saw the report, the exit polling, folks. A lot of people put the Supreme Court at the top of the list of the reasons they even went to the polls in the first place. Mm-hmm. And among those people, a majority of them, I think 57%, said they were people like most of you listening, like me, Christians concerned about the direction of the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court among Christians was a big deal Tuesday. And we'll talk about that with Abe Hamilton, and that's coming up in a couple of minutes. You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree. Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's the question, Ed. How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. It's like Christmas Day for conservatives, a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican in the White House. The only issue is deciding which Christmas present to unwrap first. That'll be Donald Trump's decision, whether it's replacing Obamacare or beefing up our military or hiring bricklayers to start building that wall. Many conservative voters are going to be anxious to see President-elect Trump make good on his campaign promises, and with good reason. There's a history of Republicans campaigning as conservatives but governing as liberals. So day one is going to be a bellwether. In the meantime, it's time for Republicans to unite behind the president-elect, including all of you never-Trumpers. Give the man a chance. Let's see what he's going to do. And if he strays from his promises, you better believe I'll be there to call him out. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check out our Facebook page. We're live streaming there. Audio and video, I think, on there, AFR.net is our website, AFR.net, but Today's Issues Facebook page, and we're posting the stories that we're talking about as we do every day. Ray Pritchard joining me from Dallas. Ray's co-host with me on this program Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News, is in studio with us. Want to welcome also in Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is the public policy analyst for American Family Association. Is there going to be, what about Abraham Hamilton IV?
No fourth.
Not yet?
No, I mean, my
oldest
son.
You're not going to go with that name?
No, I'm not going to go with that name.
Okay, the third's going to be the last of the Abraham Hamilton. Yeah, okay.
For now.
Wait a minute. I thought we said.
That's right. Keep your options.
Yeah. Hey, you know, like, aren't we in the political season?
Okay,
or
yes.
I guess
right.
It's over with.
Well,
I guess.
We'll just have to wait and see, huh? We'll just have to wait and see.
My first 100 days will be huge.
Hey, I want to ask you, by the way, did we wrap up? Well, Donald Trump's on his way to the White House momentarily.
Now, Abe had some figures on
the female vote
and the college vote.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say the numbers first, and then I'll say a little bit. It's not true. It shows that women, particularly white women, voted for Donald Trump. 53% voted for Donald Trump.
53% of white females voted for Donald Trump.
That's right. And when you get to college-educated voters, 49% voted for Donald Trump, whereas 45% voted for Hillary Clinton. So it's pretty close. It's pretty close. But what you see, and this is something that for all of the, one of the things you have to give credit to the progressive left is that they never give up. What you're witnessing is that they're parroting these popular narratives because they're already attempting to carve up the populace to reconcile or to create a voting bloc for 2018 and 2020. Mm-hmm. So they want to try to pit college educated versus non-college educated, pit blacks versus whites and other ethnic groups, pit high school educated versus non-high school educated. Another interesting fact that some people are saying, well, you know, Donald Trump won people without a high school diploma at 51% versus 45%. But you know what they don't say? In 2012, Barack Obama got 64% of that vote.
Ah.
So it's just ridiculous. And you have to cut through all of the foolishness. And if you don't want to wade through the foolishness, you can just stand back and say, listen, I voted to save America, period. Mm. Period.
Mm. Absolutely. I want to ask you about the Supreme Court, but before I do, let me just read for you guys what I wrote yesterday to a lot of our supporters, and this is dated Wednesday, November 9th, and I occasionally do write. You can go on the AFA. You can go to AFA.net and sign up for these. AFA.net. Go on the just sign up for the action alerts. At AFA.net, take you about 60 seconds or 2 minutes, and we will. I'll send you these occasionally, these notes from me about various and sundry issues. But this is what I wrote, get you guys to comment if you like it. If you don't like it, please don't comment. Here's what I wrote yesterday. The headline is Pray for President-elect Donald Trump and for our nation. Dear AFA supporter, our AFR listener, last night's presidential results have given us a reprieve in America. We were about to go over the cliff. The knockout punch was about to be delivered to the American, to the America that our founding fathers handed us. We were about to lose the Supreme Court of the United States to the far left for a generation. Persecution against Christians was about to be amped up, the likes of which we have never seen before. After all, Hillary Clinton called us an unredeemable basket of deplorables, end of quote. These secular progressives or God-haters were ready to pounce with nothing to stop them. I told my staff to get ready for the federal government to come after Christian radio with new regulations that would prohibit anything preached or spoken against homosexuality. Clinton made it clear she believed in abortion, even partial birth abortion, and she believed that the taxpayers should pay for it. Much more evil was about to descend on our beloved America, but God had mercy on us. Don't get me wrong, Donald Trump is not our Savior. Jesus Christ is our King now and forevermore. But God allowed this man to be elected president against all odds, and Donald Trump has chosen to surround himself with many godly men whom I admire and trust. But for God, why would a billionaire business tycoon from New York City want to look to Christian men for counsel and advice? He didn't need Governor Pence to win Indiana. No, God has placed Governor Pence, a Bible-believing brother in Christ, in Donald Trump's path. And then I encourage folks to pray for President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect Pence. Mm-hmm. If you want to read what I just wrote, Walker is posting it or has posted it on our Facebook page. Brent, check and see if he's at the Today's Issues Facebook page for American Family Radio. Walker was going to post what I just wrote to a lot of our supporters. Ray, what do you think about my thoughts there?
Well, Tim, you laid out the case just as clearly as it could be. First of all, you're exactly right. In the end, this wasn't just a vote between Hillary and Donald Trump, not just between two people. It was two completely different visions of where America's going to go. And especially on the part about the Supreme Court, if Hillary had been elected, whoever she put on there would have led the court, not just left, but far left, and maybe we never get it back again. Whoever Donald Trump puts up is going to be, I believe, a constitutional conservative. So a great deal was at stake. And, you know, you're right. We ought to thank God for the results of the election, and we certainly ought to pray for the president as he's assembling his cabinet, because these advisors are going to be the ones who are going to help President Trump lead the country in a good way.
What do you think about my use of the word reprieve?
Well, I mean, it's exactly right. It's a stay of judgment, a stay of execution.
Okay, that's what I intended to communicate. Was right. That we've got a lot of work ahead of us, but God's given us time to turn things around. Let me add one thing and then to this conversation, and then we'll go to Abe about the Supreme Court, but this relates directly to the Supreme Court. Abe, and we've been critical of Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, people on the conservative side of the Republican Party, for some of his failures in leadership in the Senate. But I got to give the man a lot of credit, because he was the one that decided to postpone the selection of a new justice to replace Antonin Scalia when he died last year. Remember that in the spring, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch McConnell could have gone ahead with the hearings for President Obama's selection, and that fellow would have been on the court for, well, if he'd got the votes in the Senate for 30 years. I forgot what his name was. Garland. Okay, but he's a liberal, okay, yes. As you would expect from President Obama. But Mitch McConnell said, no, it's a presidential election year. There's this history here of not voting on Supreme Court justice nominees during the heat of an election
mm-hmm.
season. So Mitch McConnell held off, not knowing who would win,
mm-hmm.
probably thinking Hillary's probably going to win, mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton. And so here we are now with a chance to shape the court in another direction.
That's right.
A more constitutional direction. True?
That's true. That's absolutely right. You know, there are a lot of people who try to pounce on the Republican legislators for not bringing Merrick Garland up for a hearing. But the role, based on the constitutional separation of powers, is that the president's prerogative is to nominate.
Nominate
a candidate to fulfill the federal judicial vacancy, which he did. He nominated Merrick Garland. However, the Constitution gives the sole and exclusive right of advice and consent to the Senate. Intrinsic in their role as advisors and consenters, they have the prerogative to withhold their consent and their advice. Some people say there's a constitutional right to an up or down vote. Well, they sure didn't feel that way when Democrats held a majority in Congress, in the Senate, and Joe Biden himself repeatedly stated, well, we don't want to deprive the next president from the opportunity of nominating the next Supreme Court justice.
Is this when Bush was in the White House?
Yes, okay. When Bush was in the White House.
Okay.
So the hypocrisy, it's amazing. It's kind of the old adage. The lawyers know this. When the facts are on your side, you argue the facts, you know. When the facts are not on your side, you argue emotion. You know, you find something to argue. And so that's what the progressives do. When they're in the minority, they do things like, I don't know, Bork Robert Bork.
Okay, we've got three Supreme Court justices who are so old that the AARP kicked them out.
No offense to anybody who may be the similar ages.
Yeah. Seriously, we do have some Supreme Court justices who are well beyond retirement years, let me put it that way. Of course, they have lifetime appointments. They can stay till they die if they want to, or they can retire whenever they want to, obviously. So who are the eldest among them? And,
yes.
And we talk about the Supreme Court, because right now there's considered to be four liberals, three conservatives, and one moderate.
That's right.
Okay.
So I'll just give that.
Go ahead.
The ones that are considered conservative are Justice Clarence Thomas, Justice John Roberts, and Justice Samuel Alito. All right. The one pendulum that goes kind of whichever the wind, not really. The one person who swings depending on the issue is Anthony Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the four part of the liberal bloc are Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Stephen Breyer.
They're groupthink.
No matter what the issue is, you know where they're going to fall.
All four of them.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
Right. And Sotomayor and Kagan are young women.
They are two that were appointed by President Barack Obama.
They're there for a long, long time.
They're also two of the three who tipped their hand prior to Obergefell, because at least one of them performed a same-sex marriage in the Supreme Court building prior to Obergefell's decision.
Yeah.
That was a same-sex marriage case.
Yeah.
But so it's basically what's going to happen in the next, I think it's safe to say, what's going to happen. First thing that's going to happen is President-elect Trump is going to be able to replace the vacancy of Antonin Scalia.
That's right.
On the Supreme Court. because he's going to have the Senate, 52-48,
mm-hmm.
and Republicans, and so he is going to make. I don't. He hasn't yet, but he'll make an appointment of somebody to fill that vacancy. Now, all that will do basically is return the court to what it was, ideologically at least, vote wise for the most part, to what it was before Scalia died.
That's right. That's right. And then following that, you have Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is 82 years old. 82 years old.
And not in good health.
And not in good health. Mm-hmm. You have Justice Anthony Kennedy, who is 79 years old. And you have Justice Stephen Breyer, who is 77 years old. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is not in good health. Both Kennedy and Breyer have, you know, given indications that they've thought about retirement. Also, Justice Clarence Thomas mm-hmm. has discussed the potential of his retirement.
Yes, well, we've told him he can't.
Right, and I
we voted, and he can't.
Yeah, we did vote. I will send that in any communication mechanism needed. Teletype, Morse code, okay. Email, okay. Whatever, however he needs it.
Hang in there.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Stay. Because what we really face is a specter in the next 4 to 8 years. We face the real possibility of having at a minimum 2, as much as maybe 5 justices appointed.
Can you imagine 5?
Mm. Well, there's hope. There's hope. Let me tell you something, Ray. We had the dream for a pro-life voter is that the Supreme Court would overturn Roe versus Wade,
right?
Or reverse it and send abortion law back to the states.
And not only that, because you can't forget the possibility of reversing Obergefell as well,
right?
Because, you know, there are cases through the hopper, House Bill 1523, other things that are moving their way up. Should they land in a Supreme Court where the makeup is a little bit different?
The liberals know this because they're freaking out.
They are. And they knew it before the election because they were saying some of the same things.
Yeah, I was reading last night. They've resigned themselves. The liberals have resigned themselves really to the fact that Donald Trump is going to replace Scalia with someone just as conservative,
mm-hmm.
and then he's going to appoint if Ruth Bader Ginsburg, those older ones, resign or pass away, he's going to replace them
mm-hmm.
with Scalia-like judges.
Well, he's given us this list of what 21 right. names. Mm-hmm. I mean, excellent. I mean, mm-hmm. conservatives just look at that list and go, you know, almost close your eyes and pick one, because these are great men and women. Abe, I want to ask you a question about the filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a chance that the Democrats could use the filibuster to block one of Trump's nominations to the Supreme Court?
Yes. Well, what will have to happen is that the Republican majority in the Senate would have to vote to change the filibuster rules to require just a simple majority vote in order to confirm a judicial appointment. And this is something that the Democrats have done.
Yes.
when they've had, you know, majorities in the Senate, and then when they didn't have majorities, they've put the slip the Mickey, if you will, on the Republicans to agree to allow the filibuster to be present, so they could.
What they're trying to do is that they want to the filibuster is not intended to block a Supreme Court nomination. Have your hearing and then vote on the man. If you want to vote no, vote no. Vote yes, vote yes, but have a vote on it. What the Democrats started doing with Robert Bork and others
mm-hmm.
is they started this this playing games with Supreme Court nominees, which is the prerogative of the President of the United States, and so they don't have they block them by procedure if they don't have enough senators to vote against the nominee. That all started, folks, you remember, mm-hmm. with Robert Bork, and mm-hmm. it went on. The Democrats started the fire on this one, okay?
Because they were in the minority at the time.
Yeah, and they were threatened. They thought Roe versus Wade might be overturned. Make no mistake, folks. Remember Clarence Thomas? They went after him. They tried to slander him with Anita Hill mm-hmm. and all that stuff. This is basically all about abortion. When it comes down to it, they'll use all he's a racist, he's a whatever, a homophobe or whatever. They're going to use things like that against whoever Donald Trump puts up. But it's all usually all about abortion. And Donald Trump, I don't know if the Democrats want to fight him over this, because when it happens, because he said more clearly than any other Republican that I've ever seen that he's going to – he calls them pro-life judges.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, bless his heart, is not smart enough to know you don't say that out loud to people. You couch it.
Or maybe he is smart.
You couch it. I'm being backhanded with my compliment is what I'm being,
yeah.
Folks. I'm complimenting Donald Trump. I said this yesterday, Ray. You're supposed to say something. I'm for judges that are constitutionalist or strict constructionist or something like that. You don't just say I'm for pro-life judges, but he did. And he's for overturning Roe versus Wade. Donald Trump is.
And he can make that argument that's what the American people wanted when they elected him.
Well, and that's just it. You know, when he said that in that third debate that night, there wasn't one person watching that television set that night that didn't understand what Donald Trump just said.
Oh, no, he was clear.
He was as clear as a bell. And we know, remember sitting here the next day, we said, that's it. That is the defining point in all of this.
You mean that a lot of Christians who were on the fence will vote for him because of that? Is that what you meant?
Absolutely. Here we are. We're as clear can be, and not another Republican candidate for president has ever been as clear as this, that this is what I'm going to do. The other thing I think that's really important, and Abe and Ray, you may want to chime in on this too, is that we've got some religious freedom bills that are making their way, and they're
to the Supreme Court
at the appeal stage now in Mississippi on the Fifth Circuit, I think is going to hear, and
the Mississippi Religious Freedom Bill,
exactly
law.
And I heard some people talking about this in interviews this morning. One of their motivators for voting for Donald Trump is that they are hoping there's going to be a court system that will understand the threat to religious freedom in this country the way things are right now, and with a changed Supreme Court, there is a better opportunity for those bills, and we need them in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen the threats that have been happening here. That pastor in Georgia is still fighting his legal case. He got fired. He was a dual career individual, worked for the health department, I think, in Georgia.
That's right.
And he was fired because what was in his sermons. Remember that. He got fired from his state job for what was in his sermons. And it is a perfect example. People said, oh, my gosh, people are going to get fired now from government jobs because what's been said in their churches? That's a scary thought here in America. That's what they do in China.
Yeah, but the Democrats believe in that.
Exactly.
They believe in that. If you say the wrong thing, it's not PC, then you can be canned. I don't care what you say about just because you teach that in your church. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Go to our live feed on our Facebook page, Facebook Live, for Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Abe Hamilton is with us, public policy analyst for American Family Association. We've been talking about what the Supreme Court looks like. It's eight members. It's supposed to be nine members, Ray, of the Supreme Court. So.
Well, you know, here's a question for all of you. How fast do you expect President Trump to move on this? For instance, would he announce his nominee before the inauguration? I guess that would be unusual for him to do that, but assume we get past that. How soon do you expect him to? I mean, he knows evangelicals played a big part in his election on Tuesday. How fast do you think he's going to move?
He's got a 100-day agenda.
I was going to say that. Yeah, and it's at the top of the agenda.
Yeah. He's got a 100-day agenda. I think within the first 2 weeks after, what is it, January 20th, Inauguration Day, I think within the first 2 weeks, he's going to put a name up for that Supreme Court vacancy. You'll see.
Yeah, and I don't think the Democrats are going to fight him much on that, quite honestly, because all they're doing is replacing Scalia. And I would be surprised if the Democrats spend a lot of capital fighting that one. I could be wrong. I think their energies to fight would come the next round. Should Ginsburg pass away and then Trump wants to replace her with a conservative, then the Democrats are going to get tanks and
gloves are going to come off.
Bazookas and go down because that's going to be – and really, I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but I don't want to under-spiritualize it too. The devil is going to try to protect abortion.
Yes.
And I mean that – abortion is the taking of innocent human life. It's murder in the womb. A lot of people don't think about it that way, but it's there is a human life that has to be killed, or otherwise it wouldn't be an abortion. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Yes.
So I'm serious. That's why this gets so contentious, and it gets you start seeing these arguments by those who are pro-abortion, and you can have a discussion with them, and you're pro-life, and you're going, you're being irrational. Mm-hmm. You're starting to get, you know, you're not even wanting. Well, the reason they get so defensive is because I think it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. It's spiritual, Abe. So you're going to see a real fight. That's why it all depends on timing here. If Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for example, or one of the other two liberals, three liberals, well, it would likely be her or Breyer, if they retire in the next 2 years, because we don't know what the next 2 years will hold. Two years from now, the Democrats could take over the Senate.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you could have a whole different picture.
That's right.
So it's a lot of unknowns here, but we do know one thing. If given the opportunity, Donald Trump has said he will promote pro-life conservative judges to the Supreme Court. And just as important, or almost just as important, folks, is his appointments to the federal court system mm-hmm. across the land. Mm-hmm. Because the Supreme Court of the United States, they only hear like 1% of the cases that are brought before them. The rest of them, they let the lower court's decision stand. Mm-hmm. So it matters who those judges are. And the president appoints those judges. So a lot was at stake here, and Hillary Clinton knew this, and the Democrats knew it because they made an issue of it as well.
So much so that Planned Parenthood campaigned officially for the first time ever openly with Hillary Clinton, primarily for the purposes of making sure a Planned Parenthood-friendly judge would be appointed to the Supreme Court.
And spent over $30 million. Planned Parenthood spent over $30 million to try to get Hillary Clinton elected.
Now, and I say that because there's a lot of people saying, yeah, but do you really think Trump is going to make those appointments? Planned Parenthood sure does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he will because I don't think he cares what Donald Trump did not go to Washington as an outsider business, frank-talking businessman with all these different ideas, only to go there and all of a sudden become a politician.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's not what's at work here because mm-hmm. He didn't need this job. The man is 70 years old. He's a billionaire. He could be on a yacht in the Caribbean. You know, sipping a fruit drink if he wanted to. He doesn't drink alcohol. He's a he's a teetotaler.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I know. He's a teetotaler, and he won't let his kids drink either. I think there's an alcoholism in his family somewhere, and so he's seen what happens there. But anyway, I'm just saying that the motivations for a normal politician when they get in the White House, maybe you might say would apply, but they don't really apply to him. So I think most of his motivation, whether you like him or not, is pure. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, when we get back, maybe we can talk about more about his 100 days. First thing he wants to do, he's got some things he's going to be going up. Trump, I'm talking about. He's going to be going up against. He wants to end funding for sanctuary cities.
That's right. Hmm.
Wow. I mean, he's got some things on there that are big league.
Swinging for the fences.
Yeah, big league things he wants to do in the first 100 days. I'm going, wow, how many fights are we going to have?
Well, but if you're going to strike, you have majorities.
I know that's that. Right. I'm not faulting him by any means. Right. I'm just saying that's a very ambitious agenda that you got there.
Believe me. Believe me.
President-elect Trump. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.